Well, we're in the middle. We finished up a series of messages on hope. And before we get into another Sunday night series, I wanted to wait till next year to do that. So I want us tonight to sort of freelance in Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And this particular psalm consists of five verses that we want to look at tonight. Psalm 100. Let me remind you that on Friday, is that Friday, is that correct? Friday night, we will be having a New Year's Eve service. It starts at 8. Is that right, Friday? I don't know. New Year's Day is Saturday, so it'll be Friday. Friday beginning at 8, we'll have a devotional. We'll have the year in pictures that we'll see, and then we'll transition to the fellowship building for food and fellowship and some games, and then we'll have fireworks to blast in the new year. So hope you're making plans to be with us for that. As far as the fireworks, if you'll bring a chair or camping chair to sit in or what have you. We always have a good time on New Year's Eve. So thank you for your faithfulness to that. I heard about a vacuum salesman who went to a lady's house in Texas, knocked on the door. Finally, the lady came to the door, and he explained to her that he was selling vacuum cleaners, and he had one of the most advanced vacuum cleaners that had ever been made, and he would like to demonstrate it to her. And she said, "Listen, I have absolutely no money to buy a vacuum cleaner." He said, "Well, listen, I get paid on every demonstration I make. Can I just demonstrate it to you?" She said, "All right." So she let him in the house. As soon as he gets in the house, he takes a bucket of cow manure and he throws it on the floor. And he says, "Listen, if this vacuum cleaner doesn't pick up every bit of that cow manure off your living room floor, I'll eat it." She leaves and goes, comes back with a bowl and a spoon. Says, "I hope you got a good appetite because they turned my power off this morning." Yeah. You got to find out those things before you do that, right? Make sure you got power. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be back tonight. It is always good to be in your house. It's always good to be with your people. So God, I pray that you will bless us tonight with your presence, and that God, you would help us as we open your word, that we would as your people receive it as the truth, and God, that you would give us everything that we need to desire to obey it and to obey for your sake. So I pray, God, that you would speak to us through your word, and God, that you would give us understanding and reception, and that our hearts would burn within us because you have reveal to us the truth of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 1, Psalm 100. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." That's the word of the Lord. All God's people said, amen. I was reading the other day, someone wrote this, quote, "Songs have the power to capture and mold people's imagination and attitude to life," unquote. One person said that he would rather write songs than write laws because the writing of songs would have more impact. Now, if that's true, if songs have power to capture and mold people's imagination and attitude toward life, that insight seems to be lost amongst most biblical scholars. If songs have the power to do that, how much more do divinely inspired psalms have power to capture our hearts and our affections and our relationship and our obedience with God? So tonight is my hope that as we walk through this psalm, this song, that our hearts would be captured, our affections would be captured, our obedience to God would be captured as we study this tonight. Now, at the outset, I would remind you here that this particular psalm does not address individual Christians as much as it addresses the church that is gathered together. This is a psalm written for our corporate practice of worship. It is for the worship of God by God's people. And the content of this psalm, the song, I hope will find a place in our hearts that our worship will be as God has designed our worship to be, because we don't have the prerogative to worship any way we want to worship. God designs how He wants to be worshiped and should be worshiped. And we are to follow His mandates and His design for His worship. If God left it up to us, we would do all sorts of crazy things. And we do all sorts of crazy things, don't we, in the worship of God. So I want this psalm to mold your imaginations and attitude toward your worship of God as we come into a new year of opportunities to worship. And I only have 2 points tonight. That doesn't mean a lot, but I only have 2. So when we get to 2, we're almost done. Don't anticipate 3. Number 1, let's look at the requirements of worship. The requirements of worship. These 5 verses, I would say these 4 verses, are full of imperatives. They are full of commands of God, how we are to worship God. There is the command, if you want to circle them in your Bibles, there is the command, the imperative, to make, to serve, to come, to know, to enter, to be, and to bless. All of those are in the imperatives, or they are commands in Scripture. And you understand a command is to be what? Obeyed. It's not to be ignored. It's not to be shoved to the side. A command of God is to be obeyed. So when we come to church, we are under these commands of God. To make, to serve, to come, to know, to enter, to be, and to bless. 7 commands given to us by God to govern our worship of Him. To lay up our worship compared to His commands to make sure we're doing it as God has commanded us to do. And so I want you to notice that these commands are very specific. We are commanded to make a joyful noise. And if you think you can opt out of this command, he says, all ye lands. So all the earth, every inhabitant on the earth is invited and commanded to make a joyful noise unto God. All the earth is to make this joyful noise. And therefore, the worship of God is to be noisy, is it not? Say amen. It is a noisy call of worship. It is a loud call of worship. It is commanded that when the church gathers, there be certain distinctives, and one of those distinctives is being loud. The word make here in the Hebrew literally means to shout. Shout with joy in the house of the Lord. The worship of God is to be shouted with joy. Quiet, reserved worship is not Psalm 100 worship. There is a loudness to God-ordained worship. There is a passion to God's worship. There is an enthusiasm to our worship of God. It's not personal preference. It's God's command. It is biblical. This is not self-determined. It really doesn't matter what you and I think. It is commanded by God that His worship be loud and noisy. And we get quiet. It is a joyful noise, right? The loudness is from the joy that we have in God. It's not just volume, but it must be joyful volume. Say amen. It's not just made up noise. It's not just manufactured human noise. It's joyful noise. The sound of worship has a distinctive sound, and that sound is joy. Joy must be the key that the noise is in. So it's not just volume. It's not just skill. But it must be in joy that noise is made. I appreciate those who God has skilled in music. But if it's not done from the heart of joy, then it's not true worship. Say amen. So it's not volume, it's not skill, it's the joy that this noise is made from. No, it's not a performance. It's not a performance. It's a joyful noise that is made. It is from our hearts. Say amen. So come to church prepared to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Say amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. The word serve here means to perform acts of worship. It's labor, it's work for the Lord. Serve the Lord. Work, labor, perform acts of worship for the Lord with gladness. We come to God and we serve God by worshiping God. Say amen. What do you do for God? You worship God. With gladness, with a joyful noise. And gladness here is just more joy. We worship God not calmly, not softly. We worship God with joy and happiness and gladness. It is from the joy of our hearts and the gladness of our hearts that joy, that worship comes forth. When we gather together, we are commanded of God to make a joyful noise and to serve Him with our worship of gladness. Amen. Now, that's not suggestions. That's not brainstorming ideas. That's commanded of God. It is from the heart that worship comes forth. We are to make a joyful noise and serve Him with our worship with gladness. And I just want to stop here and say this, because you're probably thinking, well, I'm just not that kind of person. I'm not an outgoing person. I'm not a vocal person. That's just not my personality. This particular psalm speaks to those who are outgoing and those who are not outgoing. And the command is the same to both. And certain personality differences are not excuses for disobeying God's commands. Say amen. Spurgeon said of this verse, quote, "Our happy God should be worshiped by a happy people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with his nature, his acts, and the gratitude which we should cherish for his mercies," close quote. So that's two commands. And then the third command is this: come before his presence with what? With singing. We are to come into the presence of God with singing. Where God is, where God rules, there is singing. What's going on in heaven today? Singing. What will be going on in heaven for all eternity? Singing. Where God is and where God rules, there is singing. We are commanded of God to sing. We are to sing to God, and we are to sing to each other about God. It is a command of God. When we gather for worship, all of us are to participate. There are none of God's children that are to come to worship and merely spectate what is going on. You are to participate. When we worship, it should be loud, it should be joyful, it should be glad, and it should be full of singing. Those things move our affections. We are to sing. But we are to sing gospel-centered, theologically informed, God-glorifying songs. Say amen. It is those kind of songs, the gospel-centered, theologically informed, God-glorifying songs, that our affections will be stirred toward him as the God who is worthy of our worship. Say amen. Now look what it says here. Know, that's a command. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So what God says here is this. The worship of God is to be noisy. It is to be serving. It is to be singing with joy and gladness. But the worship of God is not to be done without intellectual, biblical understanding. Worship is not merely an emotional circumstance. We are to know and we are to learn and continue knowing and learning two things: who God is and who we are. We must know who we are worshiping. Say amen. That's the aim of preaching. Preaching is the revealing of all that God is and who we are in relation to him. What does God say? He is the creator. He made us. He bought us. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is our creator and he is our redeemer. It is only when we know God as our creator that we really know ourselves as his creation and his creatures. And those two things are connected. The more you know of God, the more you know of you. Say amen. He is our creator. He is our redeemer. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. It is God who has made us. We have not made ourselves. And we are his because he made us. And he made us the way he seems best to make us. He made us, and because he made us, he owns us. And we have been made and created to do what? To worship him and to glorify him. And when we don't worship him, we live as if we have created ourselves. Say amen. He has made us to make a joyful noise. He has made us to serve him with gladness. He has made us to come before his presence with singing. Singing to God and to one another. That's what God has made us for. We are to enter into his gates, he says, with thanksgiving. and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's what we are created for. If God gives us prosperity, it pleased God to do so. And if he gives us trying circumstances, it pleased God to do so. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. We did not create ourselves. We did not redeem ourselves. He did it, and we are his people through the work and person of Jesus Christ. We who were sinners have been made the people of God, liberated from the bondage of sin and ransomed by the price Christ paid on the cross. The good shepherd has given his life for us and has given to us eternal life. It is a call to worship that God. We are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We are to come together, and in our worship of God, our hearts are to be thankful for what he has done, and we are to praise God for who he is. We are to gather with grateful hearts for what he has accomplished for us, what he continues to do for us, and we are to give him praise simply for who he is. He's God. That's what we are to do. And we are to do it together. And there is a special aspect, I think, of thanksgiving that involves the people of God together and not just private prayers of individuals. We are to come together to thank God. We are come together to praise God. We are to bless his name, he says. That word bless means to kneel. We come before God and we bow to him. We are to verbally and visually show our submission to God. We kneel to him, submit everything under him. He is king and we are his subjects. It is a biblical call to worship, commanded of God. When you come together as God's people, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. In worship, you just don't come into a building. You come into the presence of God. You come into his gates and his courts. Say amen. And we are to do it as he has commanded us to do it. Not as the Baptists have taught us to do it, our tradition has taught us to do it. Do it the way God said do it. Amen. Say amen. Number two. And there's only two. Not only the requirements or the commands for our worship to God, but notice the reason for our worship. Verse 5. Because. This is why you obey his commands. This is why you come and worship this way. Because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Three reasons why we should be obedient to his commands of worship. Number one, God is good. Amen. The God of the Bible is good. And he has always been good. And he can be nothing other than good to his people. Can you think of one instance as a child of God that God was bad to you? That God purposely did something that was for your destruction and not for your benefit? Anything? God is good. He has always been good to you. He continually will be good to you. When he created the world and all that was in it, he saw that it was what? It was good. When he gave us his law, the law was good. When he reveals his will to us in his word, his will is good and pleasing and perfect. The word gospel means good news. God is good, right? Why should I obey God's commands and worship? Why should I just do things my own way? Because God is good to me. God is so good to me. And in 2022, God will continue to be good to me. So I come and I worship Him because He is good. I come and worship Him the way He desires to be worshipped because He is good to me. God's mercy, God's love toward His people is what? Everlasting. His love is loyal love. His love endures forever. His love is steadfast. And God is many things, and God has many attributes, but none of God's attributes endures Him to His people like His love for us. And this is His love. There is no end to His love. We share love with one another that can end. Nothing we can do will end God's love for us. His love is everlasting. He never falls out of love with us. He never does anything that would cause us to doubt His love for us. He is a God that loves us with an everlasting love. It is amazing. I would have dumped me years ago. But He doesn't. I have given Him every reason to be done with me. But His love for me is everlasting love. It can never end. Isn't that a kind of God that you would want to worship? And you would want to worship Him the way that He wants to be worshiped? He is good. His mercy, His love is everlasting. He is faithful. His word, the truth, Himself, all endures to all generations. In the midst of a rapidly changing world in which we live, there is comfort to know that we have a God who doesn't change. He is immutable. The God today is the God that was a God for Paul. The God we have today was the God for Mary and Joseph. And David, he can be counted on to remain as he's always been. He doesn't change. Spurgeon again said, quote, "As our fathers found Him faithful, so will our sons and our seed find Him faithful forever." Listen, understand something. He has been faithful down through the years. He has been faithful to me. And I can tell Haddon that he will be faithful to him. Because he doesn't change. He is the immutable God. And His truth endures forever. It doesn't change. So let me ask you a question. Has God been good to you? Some noise, please. Some noise, please. God wants some noise tonight. Has God been good to you? Amen. Then He will always be good to you. Amen. You never, ever have to worry that He might cease to be good or change His good ways toward you. Amen? Has God been loving toward you? Amen. Then He will always be loving toward you. His very nature is to love. You never need to worry that He will one day cease to love you. Say amen. Has God seen you through difficult days? If one person testifies that they have gone through hardships and they testify that God has kept them secure in those hard times, if He did it for them, then He'll do it for you. Whatever may come. Does anyone Has anyone ever had greater reasons to be thankful to God than we who are His redeemed people? We know Him as Creator. We know Him as Redeemer. We know Him as our Shepherd and our Lord. And because we know Him, we worship Him. And we worship Him, or we desire to worship Him as He wants us to worship Him. If everything is true, if God is good, if God's mercy is steadfast, His love is loyal, if His truth is everlasting and never ends, then let us come together when we come together, and let us shout with gladness. Let us serve the Lord with gladness. Let us come into His presence with singing. Let us know that He is God and we are not. Let us enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever and His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Isn't that what we should be working on for 2022? And I know what you're going to say. Well, brother, I don't know any other Baptist church that does it that way. Are we following the Baptist church or are we following God and the Bible? I'm not interested in what any other Baptist church is doing. I'm interested in what the Bible says we should be doing. Amen. Say amen. We have to answer for us. I don't have to answer for them. Let us come together as God's people who have been redeemed and saved by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and let us shout with gladness that we're saved. Let us serve the Lord with gladness. Let us come before His presence with singing and thanksgiving and praise, and may we bless His name. Amen. In our worship of Him. And all God's people said, dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You for Your word. It is so good. And we pray that You would help us to help us that our worship of You would be more oriented toward what You would have it to be. And we would be mindful of these commands of worship. And each one of us would deal with our own hearts about being more of what this worship God desires to be. So that when we come together, it will be worship as You desire it. It will be worship that is glorifying to You. It will be worship that is honoring to You. Not to us, but unto You. Because You are worthy of all of our worship, and You are worthy of worship as You have desired worship to be. So help us to be obedient people and obedient sheep to the Shepherd. And we'll thank You for that. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, I pray. Amen.